You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
On Friday afternoon, so the program is It's the Law. I'm Pat Smits, the host of the program. I haven't been here for a couple weeks, so probably still hearing my voice, which just now getting over and being able to talk. So let's see if that works. But what's happening, and I wanted to, before we even start the program today, I wanted to talk to you or tell you about a couple programs that are coming up that should be of interest to anyone who has any interest in law. So today is the 24th of April, and we're going to have a program that I really suggest everybody, anyone in business at least, should be interested in. It's a program, Keeping Your Business Safe, and it's Tuesday, April 28th, so that's next Tuesday. 5:30 p.m. is a reception, and then it's from 6 to 8 p.m., and the program is at the Historic Courthouse in Flemington. If you've never been at the Historic Courthouse, it's worth coming to the program just to see that historic courtroom and what we often call the Lindbergh courtroom and the Bar Association here in Hunterdon County. We've also put together a law office from the 30s, and it's right next to the courtroom as you walk up the stairs as you're entering into the famous Lindbergh courtroom. So I hope that will be open on Tuesday night. I'm going to check. I have a special affinity. I did help with it and brought a typewriter back that had been used from 1936, a typewriter used in Wisconsin. So that's part of the exhibit of different things. There's an old rice copier, which was used in the 30s. And of course, when we were at war with Japan in the 40s, they no longer could get the rice paper. So that went out of use. But in any event, this has been, not supported. It's actually being put on by Crime Stoppers of Hunterdon County and in partnership with the Chamber. And it's a free seminar. And the seminar is entitled Keeping Your Business Safe. And it will explain current security dangers facing businesses and demonstrate various strategies to protect our businesses from physical and cyber threats. And we will have the featured presentations by the Hunterdon County Prosecutor's Office and the FBI, among others. So Anthony Kearns, our Hunterdon County Prosecutor, is going to be presenting, and he's going to, his topic will be State of the Country and Current Crime and Drug Trends. And then Special Agent Michael Skameka, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, he is going to, along with Special Agent Edwin Quinn, talk about physical security measures and identity theft. And then Chris Cosmo, he's going to talk about cloud security. And Dave Ganfus from the Ganfus Insurance Agency will be the last speaker, and he's going to be talking about refuse to be a victim. Now, if you're interested, you are going to have to register because space is limited, and I believe the site is where you can register or find out more about this program is www.crimestoppershunterton.com. And so I really think this will be an excellent program, and it's something that anyone in business, we need to get as much information as possible. So that's going to be again, Tuesday, the 28th of April, from 6 to 8 p.m. And if you have other questions, you could certainly call the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and get more information. And the next thing I wanted to tell you about is a celebration, and it's we usually have here, we have a law day, and what's going to happen this time in celebration of law day, the Hunterdon County Bar Association is going to present a program, Magna Carta, Symbol of Freedom Under Law. And this is going to be a program, and it's presented by Professor Robert F. Williams, and he is a distinguished professor of law at Rutgers University of Law in Camden. And again, it's going to be at the historic courthouse from 6 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday, May 6th, and it's free. Refreshments will be served. And also, I think this is really, you know, one of the very important things, and we're all so pleased that the Voorhees High School County Mock Trial Competition winners and the Lebanon Township Wood Glen School Law Fair winners will be there'll be a presentation made, and also any Boy Scouts attending will be given an opportunity to sign up for a Law Merit Badge clinic. So if there's any questions about this and to register, call 236-6109 or email hcba@comcast.net, and there will be, if you just walk into that program, that will be also acceptable. But again, that's Wednesday, May 6th, and the program is at the historic courthouse in the historic courtroom. So these are two programs that are coming up that are law-related, so I wanted to let everyone know, and hopefully you'll be able to attend. So what else is happening in legal news? I am going to have someone to on my program to explain Crime Stoppers. Unfortunately, he was not able to be here today, but we will certainly get him on shortly, hopefully in the next few weeks. So today I'm going to talk to you about various things in the legal news. And one of the first things, and one of the concerns when a number of employees leave one firm and join another, you have to be very careful. Even if a single employee leaves and goes to another firm, because often there is a confidentiality agreement that has been signed, or they may take proprietary secrets with them. And in this, the case I'm going to talk about is a federal judge in Newark has denied a motion by Deloitte Consulting, and they actually filed a motion to dismiss a lawsuit claiming that it improperly recruited employees and obtained proprietary information from a competitor, Booz Allen Hamilton. And so Booz Allen filed this lawsuit in 2013 after eight of their employees teamed, this was a team of eight employees in its Red Bank office left to join Deloitte. So that suit is pending and is going to be able to be continued. So that is one, you know, obviously of concern. I'm going to play a commercial now to see if I can get the weather on. So I'll be back shortly.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Even in this difficult economy, our family of companies, including Insight Financial, Premier College Funding, and the Insight Tax and Accounting Group have grown and prospered. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time. The weather is brought to you by Bedard, Kurowicki & Company. In today's fast-paced, deadline-driven business climate, Berdard Kowicki & Company is known as the certified public accounting firm that takes the time to understand its clients. We believe that having a deep knowledge of our clients and their business is the foundation for providing value-added, proactive accounting, tax, and business services. Call us at 908-782-7900 or visit our website at www.bkc-cpa.com.
Okay, we're back. A little late with the weather, but I was able to figure out how to do this. Tonight, actually, make sure that if you have plants outside, that you cover them, because there's going to be patchy frost tonight. Temperatures down to 27. I don't know if anybody else had the problem I had yesterday, because it had rained, and on my deck there was still a lot of water, but it had frozen, so it was really slippery. And tomorrow morning, there could be morning frost. It should be nice and sunny tomorrow, and a high of about 58 degrees. Then into Sunday, mostly sunny, better weather, high of about 62. But again, on Monday, chance of showers. So we're not getting great weather, unfortunately. So let's, it's not the kind of weather we would like at the end of April. So hopefully it will be much better shortly. And but this week, the better day will be on Sunday. So back to the program, It's the Law, and what else is happening? As I said, this lawsuit, you have to be very careful if you hire people from another firm, and if they could need to always make sure, if you had the kind of business that someone might be coming and in the prior job had a confidentiality agreement, make sure you find that out. Now, there's a class suit that targets the Devils, and because apparently the New Jersey Devils, I guess I should do this on the sports program, but they have been hit with a putative class action suit claiming that the team violates state law by restricting the resale of individual tickets by season ticket holders. Now, how are they doing that? Well, the team apparently designates Ticketmaster as their exclusive ticket reseller and cancels season tickets or imposes extra fees when fans resell tickets by other means, including the website StubHub. And this is according to the lawsuit. Now, frankly, I am rather surprised that they do this, because I would think that with all the hockey games that they would want season ticket holders. And I think most season ticket holders, you know, unlike football, when there are not that many games, there are so many basketball and hockey games that many season ticket holders would want. I can't imagine that there are many season ticket holders who go to every game. So what else is happening? Well, there's one of the things that I've asked often is, what happens if someone is convicted of domestic violence? And what does happen if they're found guilty of domestic violence? They will be denied the right to purchase or own a gun or keep a gun. Now, there was an appellate court decision this week, and the issue was the constitutionality of prohibiting someone who'd been accused of domestic violence from purchasing or having a gun. Now, I've actually had this case a number of years ago. Actually, I got into the case after this aspect was tried. But my client, there had been a domestic violence complaint alleged against him. He, after trial, he was found not guilty of domestic violence. When he was initially arrested, they had confiscated his guns. So then when he went back to get them, the police said no, and there was a hearing, and the judge prohibited him from having his guns back. Well, here's another case where that's happened. And it's the case is in re appeal of the denial of an application for ZL. Now, this was decided on April 22nd, and it's will be of interest to anyone who, you know, might be accused of domestic violence, even though they're not acquitted. They're not found guilty. So, when I say not found guilty, domestic violence cases are handled in the family court. But in this case, the appellate division clarified that an application for a firearms purchaser identification card and handgun permits may be denied in circumstances where the applicant had been accused of assaulting his wife but acquitted at trial. Now, in this case, the appellate division said that the police had responded to his home on several occasions thereafter to address domestic dispute complaints brought by his wife. And as a result, the appellate division said that the application was properly denied. And the statute, the law, if anyone is interested in looking up the law that allows the courts to deny this, as I said, deny the application for an identification card and handgun permits. The statute is NJSA 2C:58-3 paren C and paren paren 5 and paren. Now this is it's significant, and it goes without question. If someone is found guilty, they're not going to be able to have guns. But this is a situation where someone was not found guilty and still was not able to possess guns. And you'd have to read the case to see if the situation would be different. In the case that I had, I know that the wife, my client's wife, who was a very vindictive lady, by the way, went into court and testified that she was still afraid of her husband. And as a result, the trial judge did not allow him to have his guns back. And, of course, we can imagine that the judges are very concerned because they don't want to read their name in the headlines that someone was killed after they've permitted the guns to be returned. There are some other cases. For example, there's a recent family law case not approved for publication, which means that it can't be used as precedent. But in that case, the trial judge granted the former wife's motion to transfer jurisdiction of custody issues to the state of West Virginia. She had moved to the state of West Virginia a few years before, and that's why she wanted it. She wanted all future issues with respect to custody and jurisdiction to be tried there. And there's a statute with respect to this issue, and she was able to prevail. In that case, someone would not necessarily prevail as long as one parent is still in New Jersey. And in this case, the father was still in New Jersey. However, based on the circumstances of that case, trial judge permitted the wife not only to relocate, she had been permitted to relocate, but also agreed to her motion to have any future matters with respect to the children heard in West Virginia. And it had some very specific facts. But as I said, it's not a published opinion, and every one of those cases would depend on the actual situation. If a parent continues to reside in New Jersey and has some meaningful contact with the child, and the child still has meaningful contact in New Jersey, the trial judges really should not transfer jurisdiction. there's as far as business groups, business interest groups, and some of the lawyers who represent them are urging New Jersey to discard its rule governing the admission of experts' testimony and replace it with a more stringent federal statute. So in New Jersey, it's easier to get an expert's report admitted, easier than it certainly is in federal courts. And the businesses who are pushing for this say that, you know, because New Jersey does not have the same exacting rule as the federal courts, it's made New Jersey a magnet for lawsuits by out-of-state plaintiffs. And they're arguing that the rule is unclear, and that if the so-called, we have the federal standard is the Daubert standard, and that is used by federal courts and the majority of other states. And these businesses and attorneys are saying that if New Jersey adopted that here, meaning the Daubert statute, judges would be able to draw on a vast body of case law interpreting it. So what they're saying is New Jersey really needs to get in line with other states so that the standard is the same. So what else? Well, let's take a couple spots from our sponsors and a short news break, and then we'll be back.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The U.S. drone strike policy is under review after strikes killed two Western hostages, including an American. Experts say a lot of intelligence is gathered before strikes are used. And White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest says the president still stands by them.
Narrowly tailored counterterrorism actions are actually the least likely to result in civilian or innocent loss of life.
And he says the Obama administration is also looking into streamlining information given to families of terror hostages.
And that can be difficult when you have a wide range of agencies that are involved.
Meanwhile, Italy says they want more information from the U.S. about how an Italian aid worker was killed. Italian authorities believe they have broken up a terror network that had planned an attack on the Vatican. The 18 Islamic terrorists are also suspected in a Pakistani market attack that killed more than 100 people. This is USA Headline News.
So you're sporting a brand new pre-owned GM vehicle. You notice the OnStar button and wonder, what if I push it? Do it. You'll get 3 months on us, a free trial of OnStar services, including automatic help in a crash and monthly diagnostic checks. The offer's good on 06 or newer OnStar inactive GM models. Just push the blue button and ask for 3 months free. It's also obligation free. Visit OnStar.com for coverage map, offer details, and system limitations.
Bunnies in the garden. Yeah, rabbits are cute. Squirrels too, till they ruin your garden, feasting on your plants. Get yourself some Ortho Animal Be Gone. Animal Be Gone uses ingredients that little critters are naturally repelled by, but it won't hurt them. And the no stink formula works without smelling horrible. Animal Be Gone from Ortho. We don't hurt them, we just chase them. Guaranteed. Learn more about how Animal Be Gone lives up to its name at ortho.com. Use only as directed.
Crime Stoppers of Hunterdon County and the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce are offering a free seminar, Keeping Your Business Safe, on Tuesday, April 28th at 5:30 at the Historic Courthouse in Flemington. This program will include a presentation by Prosecutor Anthony Kearns and then an in-depth discussion by the FBI about physical security and identity theft, followed by presentations on cloud security. Registration is free, but please visit www.crimestoppers100in.com or call 908-782-3909 to register today.
Well, I guess now you've had two reminders about the program on Tuesday. So that was Chris Phelan of the Chamber. And again, it's going to be a very important program, so I hope you do consider attending. Now, what else is happening in legal news? Well, the question comes up, can a police officer order you to exit your vehicle after you're stopped? And there's a case that not only is very interesting, it by right can go up to the Supreme Court of New Jersey based on the fact that there was not a unanimous decision by the appellate division. So what this case is, in the appellate division, the opinion was written by Judge Fisher. Case is State versus Backholm, and it was, I believe that it was published, approved for publication, it was this month, I think, on or about April 16th. So it's interesting because based on speculation that the defendant and a passenger in his vehicle were involved in illegal drug activity, police officers attempted to follow, but they lost sight of the vehicle in or near Newark. And then they waited in Woodbridge to see if the vehicle would return. And in fact, the vehicle did return. And the officers stopped it, ostensibly because the passenger was not wearing his seatbelt. So, you know, the question is, did they have any legitimate reason in the first place to stop the vehicle? But in any event, on approaching the vehicle, one of the officers apparently observed one of the men reach under his seat. Now, it's critical that this officer, for some reason, did not testify, so that there was nobody that could give eyewitness testimony that, in fact, someone had reached under his seat. That was, why a prosecutor wouldn't have him testify. It doesn't make any sense. But in any event, what the officers did next was to order both the driver and the passenger to get out of the vehicle. Now, after the passenger left the vehicle, an officer was able to observe in plain view what he said were materials suggesting drug usage. And based on that observation, the police officers conducted a warrantless search of the vehicle, which means they didn't bother to go and ask a judge for a search warrant. They felt there were circumstances under which they could do a warrantless search. And they did find illegal drugs. So the question is, can they not only prosecute, but can they convict the defendants based on what actually happened? Now, according to the appellate division, the majority said that because the defendant's mere entry into and departure from Newark would not permit a reasonable suspicion of drug activity, meaning illegal drug activity, and because the state failed to present facts that would create in a police officer a heightened awareness of danger, and that is critical. And so that's what a police officer has to be able to testify, that unless he had the passenger or the driver get out of the car, it would be just a heightened awareness of danger if he allowed them to remain in the vehicle. And there's a case on that. It's State versus Smith, a case in 1994 that's reported at 134 NJ 599, and the basis is on page 618. But in this case, the appellate division found no sufficient ground for ordering the passenger out of the vehicle, and as a result, they reversed the denial of the suppression motion. So what happened after all of this is the defendants retained counsel and they filed a motion to suppress the evidence based on the fact that the search was not legal. Now, in this case, this was a three-judge panel, meaning in the appellate division, when there's an appeal, there can either be three judges or two judges on every case. If there's a three-judge panel and one of them doesn't agree with the other two, then the case has to be or can be brought up to the Supreme Court of New Jersey. And that's what's going to happen in this case, because one of the judges filed a dissenting opinion, so the judge did not think, or the one judge said there was sufficient grounds for ordering the passenger out of the vehicle. The others disagreed. Now, in addition, the appellate division noted that only hearsay testimony supported the assertion that the driver reached underneath his seat. So remember, it was the officer who said that and then didn't testify. So despite the fact that in a regular case, there can be an admission of hearsay at the suppression hearing, but the circumstances where that the consequences resulting from the suppression hearing are such magnitude. In this case, obviously, there were a big magnitude of consequences, and so that the appellate division found that the admission of hearsay may create a confrontation clause deprivation. And the hearsay means that one officer would have testified in court what the other officer told him, and that is that's not permissible. And so that's why they were trying to get away or get around that, I guess I should say. So what else is happening? Well, lots of things are happening. Courts are busy. The end of their calendar year is July 1st. So they're trying to get cases done, completed. We're getting new judges here. Obviously, we need to get them faster, sooner, quicker. What can I say? It's not possible in Hunterdon County to have expect anyone to do the job when we only have one full-time family law judge. And of course, now that Judge Rubin is retired, his spot is open, and so we don't have anybody doing all of the surrogate cases and all of the other cases that we used to pride ourselves in getting done expeditiously here. Now I never like to see attorneys doing bad things, but what we do have is an attorney and former municipal court judge is facing federal extortion charges. Apparently, this complaint alleges that she collected more than $17,000 from clients to pay phony government fines and then kept the money for herself. I mean, this is truly outrageous. And I think every attorney would say the same thing. We can only charge for, you know, the fines that we pay or the expenses that we pay. Now, as I talked to you about the I guess that case that I talked to you about, the search of the car, that was actually the Supreme Court has now heard arguments over whether it should scrap its six-year-old rule that governs the standards that police must follow when conducting automobile searches without first getting a warrant. And can't find anything more about that, but that is going to be interesting to see whether they make any change in that. Now, a federal court has really ordered the city of Camden to turn over every internal affairs file it generated from 2003 to 2014, and that's roughly 2,000 files. And did that because the city resisted turning over any files for officers other than two officers who are defendants in a specific case, and also claimed that it had, a subset of the files would not be representative of their conduct. So, and what they're saying is it wouldn't be a representative sample. And, however, judge is saying you have to turn them over. Now, again, and I've talked about this before, but for the second time in less than a year, the U.S. Court of Appeals from the Third Circuit, that includes New Jersey, of course, has turned back a challenge to New Jersey's ban on the so-called gay conversion therapy for minors. And in this case, an appellate court affirmed a district court's ruling dismissing a constitutional challenge to the law. Okay, so what else is happening? We're going to play a couple spots.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. There are tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Well, I'm back and talking about some other news, legal news. And I'm pleased to hear this, and let's hope maybe something happens. But the New Jersey's judiciary's top administration or administrative official warned state lawmakers that they and Governor Christie must make more of an effort to address an increasing number of judicial vacancies. Or run the risk that the courts will not be able to meet the demand for services. Frankly, the courts and the judges are terribly overworked, and they're not now meeting the needs. Just ask any litigant who is stuck in the system for 3, 4 and years or even longer. I have cases now that were filed, and this is in the family part. I have cases now that were filed in 2011, so we're talking 4 years ago, and they still haven't reached trial. So the problem is the judges, as hard as they're working, and they really are, they're just not able to keep up. We only have one full-time family judge here in Hunterdon County, and the family part judges, we have other judges that help out, but they can't. And they just can't take over the whole load. I mean, a family part judge handles so many things other than just divorce. I mean, it's not divorce. It's post-judgment, anything that comes up with respect to a case after divorce. This can be, you know, 5, 10, 15 years after divorce. The judges have to handle all of the They just handle all of the cases that are people that are not married or decide that even if they're married, they're going through not a divorce, but they're asking for other things. Judges handle the juveniles, children in court, all of the cases where children are taken out of the home and placed in foster care. I mean, the list goes on and on. The one good thing, the fun thing they do in family part is adoptions, but the judges really need help. Motions are so complicated these days. It takes so long for the judges just to deal with the motions. That could alone, we would need more than one judge in Hunterdon County to handle all of the motions if one judge was going to handle them. And the way it works now is for the most part, the judge assigned to family handles all of the motions. So I'm glad to see that, you know, something, and probably will fall on deaf ears, but everybody's being hurt. You know, we don't think about the court system unless we're involved in it. But unfortunately, the lack of judges is one of the reasons that judges at reaching retirement age are retiring, because it's just becoming more and more and more difficult. So in any event, if you know anyone, get out there and see if we can push to have more judicial, more judges appointed. And believe me, it's not because they're not qualified judges. I mean, there are many people qualified to be judges. Now there's a class action suit against Michael Storrs. It's one of the, it's a craft realtor, not a realtor, excuse me, a craft retailer, and there's one here in Flemington. And the class action suit, actually there's more than one, accused the craft retailer, Michaels, of failing to properly disclose to job applicants its use of their credit reports in employment, in decisions they've been made. And in any event, these decisions have been consolidated in the federal court in Newark, And the cases from the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas and the Western District of Missouri will be transferring to New Jersey. And Judge Kevin McNulty, you know, he's been handling these cases. And he's been hearing, apparently he's been hearing another case that's similar, but now they're going to be handled by one judge. And you may have heard of the case, Boneweather, bone loss case, and it was one of only two cases to go to trial in New Jersey. And the litigation involved the bone loss drug. There was a bone loss drug, Zometa, Z-O-M-E-T-A, and that's been settled on an unknown unknown terms. I mean, she may, well, we don't know what the terms were, put it that way. And the three judge, it was a three judge appellate division, and the appellate division had been expected to decide whether or not to defer or reverse won by Novartis against the plaintiff. Instead, it announced that day that issues in dispute had been amicably resolved. So, what else? There are five New Jersey law firm donors that received more money, or actually the most money, in government contracts in 2014. Contributed almost $450,000 to in-state political campaigns last year. And, however, in exchange, they received public contracts totaling more than $42 million during the same time. And I guess we can't say one was a result of the other, although I don't think it takes much of an imagination to realize that, donating $450 million and in return receiving public contracts of more than $42 million is a good deal. And that information was provided by the state's Campaign Finance Watchdog Agency, Election Law Enforcement Commission. So, you know, we have to, you know, this just has to get better. It continually seems to get worse. So, you know, if we didn't have some of these watchdog agencies, we'd never, you know, even hear about it. For example, I just was hearing this, and it has nothing to do with law, I guess, but, you know, there's a big issue about fracking and what damage that does to the environment. And now there really is evidence that in Oklahoma, it has created, and I think you can only conclude that it's created a bigger problem with earthquakes. Apparently, Oklahoma had something like 1.5 seismic, and I don't know what they're called, usually in a year. And now, since they've been fracking, it's up to over 850 per year. And there's if you know physics, apparently there's an explanation as to why this is happening. So, unfortunately, it usually takes years before anybody does anything, and a lot of damage. And, of course, with the environment, some of that could be irreparable. So, let's all at least be a little aware that these legal issues, and they are legal issues. If you are old enough, you might remember the Pinto and the number of problems that car had and the number of people who died and the years it took before they finally did something and to correct the problem. And this happens often. So, what else happened? Well, today we've learned that apparently Governor Christie's wife is taking either a leave of absence or quit a job in New York because he's apparently either has planned on getting into the race or has already made that announcement. However, again, in April, some of the legal news was that Governor Chris Christie and his administration may soon be facing what they had least hoped would happen, and that is indictments by a federal grand jury of some of his former staffers and a close friend and ally on charges that they have their roots in the abrupt closure of local access lanes to the George Washington Bridge in September 2013. Well, whatever you think about the governor, whatever you think about that incident, certainly he does not want that coming up at this time when he makes a presidential bid. And of course, then we have, and let's be fair, because we have a Republican on one side and a Democrat on another, and the Menendez case, you know, the issue will be in that case whether his friendship and a defense of the fact that he received money from a friend will be an effective defense. And the as that case against U.S. Senator Robert Menendez moves towards trial, you know, both sides apparently will be honing arguments about the true meaning of friendship. Because Senator Menendez contends that the corruption charges against him are unfounded because his longtime friendship with the Florida eye doctor is genuine. And apparently that's his best defense in the case, according to some lawyers. But whether it will be successful will depend on the details of the friendship. And, of course, most importantly, how the jury reads the issue. In other words, what do they think? What does the jury think? Will they think that, you know, was reasonable because they were, in fact, friends? Now, there's also a recent case in the failure of the Council on Affordable Housing to adopt trust fund commitment regulations. And some of these are pretty esoteric, so I'm not sure that many people are interested in that. So if you are, either give me a call or you can go online and look at that. Again, it was a Judge Fisher wrote the decision for the appellate division. So there have been many interesting cases that have not been published. So it means that the cases can't be used for precedent in another case, but it's certainly you know, helpful for attorneys and helpful for litigants to see how the appellate division decided other cases that might be similar as far as the legal issues. And so, you know, people think attorneys don't get caught. Well, we have an appeals court that ruled that an attorney representing a plaintiff in a medical malpractice case must be disqualified because he read confidential in-house investigatory documents prepared by the defendant hospital. So the judges ruled that it did not matter that the attorney received the documents without asking for them. And so apparently he received them from an anonymous source. He didn't ask them. He didn't ask for them. And he did not believe that the documents were deemed absolutely privileged under New Jersey's Patient Safety Act. So that's, you know, he was disqualified, could not represent the plaintiff. So, the again, the courts have confirmed that divorced couples cannot be required to resolve their post-divorce disputes through mediation if there has been an entry of a final restraining order based on a finding of domestic violence. And the court found that even if there is a property settlement agreement calling for disputes to be worked through mediators. And so that case went up on appeal, and once again, the court confirmed that someone who has a final restraining order cannot go to mediation to resolve issues. In fact, I have a case right now where there's a post-judgment, and unfortunately the judge was not aware of the fact that there was a final restraining order against my client's former wife, and she filed an application, an emergent order to show cause, and the judge, as part of the order, said the party should go to mediation. Well, of course, all I needed to do was point out to the judge that there was a final restraining order, and he modified his own order, which he needed to do. So I think that's about it for the program today. And we'll be back next week, hopefully, on Friday at 4. And again, don't forget about the Crime Stoppers on next Tuesday and the other program on the 6th, both educational programs at the courthouse. And feel free to call the chamber office to get more details. So we'll be back after the news with the sports guys.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The Obama administration is looking at streamlining information given to families of terror hostages. The move comes in the aftermath of the two Al-Qaeda-held hostages killed during drone strikes.
This fusion cell would incorporate elements of the FBI, the Department of Defense and State, the intelligence community, all of whom are involved in the mission to try to rescue American citizens who are being held hostage.
That was White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest, who also says the White House continues defending the use of drones.
We can't use special operations troops to go after every terrorist in the world. We can't conduct an Osama bin Laden-style raid against every terrorist.
Meanwhile, Italian authorities believe they have broken up a terror network that had planned an attack on the Vatican. The 18 Islamic extremists sought in raids today are also suspected in a Pakistani market attack that killed more than 100 people. This is USA Headline News.
Bunnies in the garden.
Yeah, rabbits are cute. Squirrels, too. Till they ruin your garden, feasting on your plants. Get yourself some Ortho Animal Be Gone. Animal Be Gone uses ingredients that little critters are naturally repelled by, but it won't hurt them. And the no-stink formula works without smelling horrible. Animal Be Gone from Ortho. We don't hurt them. We just chase them. Guaranteed. Learn more about how Animal Be Gone lives up to its name at ortho.com. Use only as directed.
Would you wait several days for your cell phone to fully charge? Would you wait several days to feel the full effect of relief from your nasal congestion? FloNase Allergy Relief Nasal Spray could take that long. But if you're congested now and you want powerful relief now, use Afrin No Drip. Afrin starts working in seconds and keeps working for 12 hours. So why wait several days to feel the full effect?
Well,
you can start to get relief in seconds with Afrin. Afrin, powerful congestion.